Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage, however God is building your family. We just want to encourage you to cling to Christ because He is your rock and He is more than enough. Hey, you guys, it is October. We have, if you haven't heard already, we have a special event coming up on the 20th, our butterfly release and local hangout for anyone who has lost a precious, precious life at any stage.
Yeah.
So October is infant and pregnancy and infant loss awareness month. So kind of in honor of that, we're having a special time together. You can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net to find out more information. If you're not local and you still want to participate by having a butterfly released in honor of your precious little one, we are happy to try to coordinate that as well. And if you have any questions, concerns, prayer requests, show ideas, any of the things, we get emails, you guys, all the time, and we love hearing from our listeners. Yeah. I feel like we get on the emotional roller coasters with you sometimes, and I'm just like, the Lord lays you on our hearts.
That's right.
And you are not alone, and there are people praying for you, so reach out.
That's so true. Okay, today we're going to introduce a guest again. If you listened last week, and if you didn't, you should go back and listen to her story, Marie Friesen. She is a friend and counselor of mine. I had not received and gone to counseling ever until about 2 years ago. And now I would encourage anyone to go to see your very own counselor. But she is in studio again today. Last week we talked about her own story. Mm-hmm. And then this week we were talking about just encouraging people to seek out counseling and to hopefully get rid of that stereotypical feeling of oh, if I go to counseling, something's wrong.
Not trusting God.
If I have to go to a counselor, that means something's wrong and people are going to think bad things. No. Just all that's no. I encourage you to find a Christian counselor. And that is who she is to me. Mm-hmm. But to seek out and to know, I feel like sometimes that takes more strength going to get help than it does just sitting in what you're struggling with. So Marie, hello.
And I just want to say, too, to piggyback on what Anne said, Marie has earned the right
to speak
into people's lives because of what she's walked through and how she's learned to trust to the Lord. If you listen to her previous testimony, you dealt with an obsession of wanting to have children. And that's what we talk about, how for so many of us, a good desire can get slightly off and become an obsession, and it can just break down our life. And it almost destroyed you, and yet it didn't. The Lord came in and radically, radically redeemed and transformed your life. Mm-hmm. And even though He didn't give you a biological child, you walk in so much freedom and joy
that's
authentic and beautiful, and there's so much that we can learn from you. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
I agree with, therapy, of course I do, I'm a therapist, but, we have healthy use, right? We do a even still call it that anymore.
They call it that.
Okay, we need a mental healthy you once a year, right?
Just a check-in.
Mm-hmm. And if you need further, then they can help refer, and if not, so be it. So,
are there any emotional cavities forming?
Exactly. To take care of.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's specifically with infertility or child loss, the kind of strain that couples go through is so immense. And I think we don't want to understate how difficult that is and how it touches every area of our life, especially I think as women, because the desire to be a mama like, we can't turn that off. Like, we're at work, we're at mm-hmm. leisure, we're everywhere we are, we have these remembrances of our bodies being designed to do something. Mm-hmm. And so having somebody else to help us process those deep yeah. feelings and point us to Jesus right. can be so key.
Right.
Okay. Well, we're going to turn it over to you for tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks.
Yes. So thinking on this podcast, and I had listed some emotional struggles that people may have during fertility issues mm-hmm. or struggles or infertility or miscarriage and things. Not exhaustive list, but I have listed several emotions with examples. So, you know, and I may even give some of my own examples mm-hmm. throughout it. But first is grief and loss. So last podcast I gave my story about being in the ER.
Yeah.
And I was grieving mm-hmm. that. Not that I'm severely sick, but grieving that I need to get pregnant. No, we can't. Mm. This is hindering stuff. Let's just go home, right?
Yeah.
But grief is also, it's not just, when we hear the word grief, we think death.
Yeah.
And so I also work a lot with training within grief within my practice too. But it's not just death. It is issues of fertility. It is loss of relationships. It's divorce. It's loss of jobs. There's so many things that grief fall under.
Loss of that dream. Loss of what motherhood would look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, and even for me, I created with that whole life mm-hmm. of that child. We named the child. Mm-hmm. I did not mention that before. The child was, boy or girl, would be Tegan Sage, and we were going to call him Tegan and call her Sage.
Oh. Cute.
And so, yeah, we had done a lot of, you know, prepping here, and yeah, so you do lay all that foundation out, right? Stress, anxiety, stress from doing everything we could do to try to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Anxiety from every month when that test comes and it's negative or that cycle comes, right? It brings so much anxiety for the next month, right? Which takes havoc on the body too. The body trying to conceive, and then we're, you know, stress our emotions are adding so much other stuff with it. So depression. We feel sad. We feel hopeless. We feel helpless. My next door neighbor, my best friend, everybody's pregnant. Here's the
baby
next
showers.
Story. Baby showers. Yeah. Guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I being punished?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I being punished for some mistake I made? Shame that why is my body not working the way it should, right? So I think I've heard that a lot within my practice and even within myself, you know, what's wrong with me? Isolation and loneliness. Although, I don't know how many people you have that listen and watch your hundreds,
there's a lot of
thousands,
people going,
right?
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
But
the enemy makes you think you are.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Don't talk about it. Don't get help. Don't, you know, just stay over there in that corner and
deal
just
with it.
Suffer your, you know. Yeah. No one wants to hear it. You've said it enough. Everybody knows, you know.
Because everybody posts their pregnancy announcements on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Nobody posts, didn't happen this month and I'm discouraged.
Right.
That stuff doesn't make the Facebook feed.
Right. So frustration and anger. So, again, frustrated that month after month, anger with God, anger with your own body, anger, maybe it's your spouse that's is having the issue, maybe anger toward them. So there's a lot of things within that as well that can come. Medical professionals, you know, you're not listening to me, you're not helping me.
Girl.
And I'm a true believer on advocating for yourself. And, you know, when you get a diagnosis, and you hear your doctors, yes, that's what they're there for. They're the professionals. But then research yourself, too. Yeah. Not to where, like, for me, it had become so consuming. But what do I have maybe in my life that, like, for autoimmune, I know for autoimmune condition, as Hashimoto as I have, there's a diet I really should follow.
Yeah.
And I would feel better if I did, right? So what
the
we can
lack
do
of trust of medical professionals is one of the things we haven't talked a whole lot about on our journey. But, like, that's been one of the most frustrating things for me and my husband, because it was so many steps before we found somebody who saw us. And I've heard from woman after woman who've said, like, it's not just the desire to have a child, but it's just, like, it feels like there's this complicated puzzle and nobody's listening to me. Nobody is, you know, I have all of these important things to say and I'm just a number when I go in.
You kind of feel just passed along.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like with me, remember, I had to call the doctor and say, hey, I have all these checkpoints. What can we do? Well, okay.
You're almost diagnosing yourself at that point.
And I did.
Just let me know I have this.
Just didn't know the stage.
And that's a lot of pressure to be your own doctor and medical expert.
Yeah. So low self-esteem, right?
Yep.
The jealousy and envy. The one thing I did learn from my walk and trying to conceive, I joined groups. I paid a lot of money out to different things, different programs, different studies. But the one thing, good thing I did learn out of some of these groups with all these women, thousands and millions of women in these groups, cheer them on. Because we would have Facebook groups where someone would say, it's positive today. And I would get on there and I would just be so excited, do a meme, just, you know, jumping up and down, cartwheels, be excited because they are the place that you're hoping to be. And then you want someone to be there
to
for you.
To celebrate you.
So as bad as it hurt, and I get it, it hurts, but cheer them on. The relationship strain. So
it's a big one.
Yeah. When you're trying to conceive, you're watching the calendar, you're watching the days. Oh, we got, you know, we're all adults. We know what's going to happen. We got to do this right now. And there's no spontaneity in anything anymore. And it can cause strain in the relationships. Almost where someone just, you know, they just feel like, well, I'm just here. You know, there's nothing going on in a relationship to build the relationship, right? And so there's
Usually one partner is more passionate about one option than the other. And so then there's that, like, do you even want, and usually it's the woman, but not always. I've seen it the opposite, you know, like, do you even want this? And then there's that, like, just afraid to be vulnerable with the thing that you want the most, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Fear of the future. So it says what I did here, concerns about whether they'll ever be able to become parents might lead to anxiety about decisions such as whether to pursue adoption, remain childless, consider other alternatives. And there's many alternatives, you know, I've heard Jill's podcast, there's alternatives, right, for conceiving. So there's a lot of fear there. Well, if we give up, will that work? There's fear in adoption, you know, adopting someone else's child, you know. but it's beautiful, too.
So for sure.
It struggles. It struggles biologically or adopted.
That's right. There's struggles. That's just different struggles.
Parenting in general is hard.
And then that hopelessness, just, again, the month after month, nothing's working. Everybody else, it's working for anybody else. I just feel hopeless and helpless. Even down to despair, right? I just want to give up.
Yeah.
Life's not worth living, maybe. And we really want to check that because your life is worth living.
That's right.
You know, pressure expectations from grandparents. You know, that question, when are you going to give me a grandchild? Or, oh gosh, you go to a wedding, you go to a function, when are y'all going to have a baby?
I should have kids by now.
Identity crisis. I'm a woman. I'm supposed to be able to have a baby. Right? So there's that identity crisis within that too. So a lot of different things that could come up, emotions.
You just like nailed the head on every issue we talk about on this show.
Any woman listening is going to be like,
check.
That's me.
Okay, so now the woman's listening and she's like, okay, Marie, so I have all of these conditions now. What? How do fix me?
So we talked about counseling. You mentioned it earlier. Finding somebody you can trust that lines up with your beliefs.
Right.
You want to do research on all your therapists. And I tell everybody that comes into my office, when they first sit on that couch, I say, okay, you're either here to stay or you're here. This is just a stopping point. I'm going to help you find somebody that can help you. Because not everybody that comes in, I'm going to work with. My specialties are trauma, PTSD, anxiety, grief, and panic. Now, depression falls up under that as well. But there's some things I just don't do. It's not my specialty. So I would help them find that. I also tell them, it's my job to get you off my couch. Because if you are no longer coming, I've done my job. And you're living a life and you're happy. But able to face struggles, right? So that's my goal.
Well, we've even taken breaks before of like, okay, we've gotten here.
Made some progress.
And then I've come back. I've returned.
Yeah, I always tell everybody when I say graduate, I don't say terminate. Yeah. It just sounds negative. Harsh. You're terminated. They graduate therapy. So, and I always tell them, well, you have been my person. Y'all are my people. You know, you come here, my people. And you'll always be. You'll always have my phone number until I retire, and I probably will never retire. I'm here whenever. But when we are dealing with these struggles, you want to think about therapy, stress management techniques, too, like prayer.
Yeah.
And that was something else with my story, my desire to have a child. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm praying about it. I'm praying. Oh, yeah, I pray about it all the time.
But not actually praying.
No. And I've always, even since I was a little girl, though, it's like kind of weird. I always said God's always been on my mind. Like, mm-hmm. he's always there.
Yeah.
Even when my life was just mm-hmm. out of whack, I always it thought about God.
Yeah.
So,
but there's a difference between stressing about something and actually praying about it. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we're stressing, we think we're bringing it to God because, mm-hmm. but we're not actually mm-mm. talking to him. Mm-mm. Because you can feel the difference. The minute you start that conversation, mm-hmm. there's this peace that floods your heart, mm-hmm. Even as you express your fears and yeah. griefs to him. Like, it's just a totally different experience. I have that with my marriage all the time, where I'll be, or just any relationship, you know, there'll be a conflict or problem, and I spend so much time working on it, and then I pray, and it's like within 24 hours, there's this answer mm-hmm. and this like breakthrough, mm-hmm. and I'm like, why don't I do this? This yeah. works.
Mm-hmm. Or even just the prayer, bringing the peace.
Yes.
It may not even be fixed in 24, yeah. 48 hours, yeah. but then the peace,
yes,
right, that what we that we forfeit so much.
It just makes, I feel like the enemy flee, you know, mm-hmm, even mm-hmm. just for a little while, mm-hmm. just for him to recognize, like, I'm not going to give you this today. Mm-hmm. This is the Lord's. And I feel like that has been so good for me, and, you know, stuff that we've walked through as a family, that I've walked through, you know, to just say, like, no, you don't have this, mm-hmm. you know, stronghold over me. Like, mm-hmm. I belong to Jesus, you know.
Even if it's something that you've prayed a million times,
yeah.
And you think, like, God's already heard that. Like, do I sound like a broken robot, you know, mm-hmm. to him? But during my time of really struggling with infertility, the Lord convicted me to just out loud say to him, I trust you. And yeah. even when I didn't feel it, there would be times I'd be yep. just folding laundry, and God would put that on my heart, and I would out loud whisper, I trust you. And I was like, you know what? The enemy's going to hear it, because I choose right. to trust him. Yeah. And even I said it a million times during that season.
So again, like the counseling, stress management techniques. Mm. So you think about what I always ask people when they first come in, how's your sleep? How's your diet? How's your exercise?
Oh, good.
That's the first three interventions for anything, really, uh-huh. right? If you're not sleeping well, your
body sounds so simple.
Yeah, so simple, right? And you have, well, how old's your baby?
My baby is 3 months old today.
So how's your sleep right now?
Yeah,
not great.
So we say it's easy, but yeah, again, true. What's going on in our lives, right? So yeah, but those are the first three interventions we look at, and exercise, natural movement, natural endorphins in the brain releases chemicals. It really does help. But being mindful just of your surroundings, you know, you're stressed out, your brain's ruminating, the thoughts are just going nonstop. I even have people sometimes set alarms throughout the day, four alarms, one in the morning, one around lunch, one afternoon, one evening. And every time that alarm goes off, you have to stop, take a breath. What am I doing right now?
Oh,
am I stressing? What am I stressing about? Take that thought captive, my favorite verse, right? Take it captive, rewire that thought, rewire that brain. Your brain hears everything you say. Hmm. If you're constantly talking down yourself, it rewires to support it.
Wow.
There's research and shows, science and stuff. So cool.
It is so cool.
Growing up, when you think about even our childhood, if we were in abusive type environments, things that are told to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tell people, too, it's like a post-it note. You can post it on you, or you get to choose to rip it off. Right? So
it's powerful.
So changing those thoughts too. So that's what those alarms are for, just to step back, take a break. So if you're dealing with fertility issues, struggles, infertility, what am I thinking right now? Is it defeating? How can I swap it? Now, I don't mean like, I'm not pregnant today. I'm pregnant today. No, I may be struggling today with fertility, but there's hope for my future. You know, just switching that brain the way it's speaking to you, and it will change the way you're feeling and the way you're looking at it. Some little cute little grounding techniques. Our five senses are very important. God knew what he was doing when he created our bodies. And so sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. If someone has an alarm set and they find that they're really anxious or even panicky, okay, let's think taste. Think of something really sour. It grounds the nervous system.
Wow.
Cold. Oh, I love this. This is my favorite. Someone has panic attacks or even high anxiety. You can freeze Halo oranges or
That's
cuties.
What you told me to do.
Yeah, and you hold them.
Yeah,
it tricks the brain to think you're going to hypothermia. Hypothermia first attacks the fingers and the toes. You cannot have a panic attack and go to hypothermia at the same time.
Really?
No.
It literally stops. Like,
it calms the nervous system.
Yeah. And you all of a sudden don't feel hot anymore. Like, it's the sweating that you were about to have, perspiring. I don't know if I wouldn't say I struggled with panic attacks, but I definitely walked through a lot of anxiety through something I went through when I was little. And then after John Micah, thinking about, you know, my other baby, something happening to them. And yeah, doing that helped me so much, so much.
So just thinking about the five senses, sight, think about your little baby. Yeah, I see y'all on Facebook. You think about your girl. She brings smiles to your face, your family, right? Put the picture on your phone, on your set, your screensavers and stuff. Sounds, praise music. I had a client tell me the other day that's what she does when she's down and anxious. She turns on that praise music. God immediately starts to just soften her heart and ground her.
Wow.
Touch, you know, it can be like warmth or cold, like we talk about the cold. So just going through the five senses can ground in that moment. Have you take a step back? What's going on right now?
This is for when you feel like you're about to spiral out.
And the alarms are set though, just to check, do a check in. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm actually ground. I'm good right now. And then you keep rolling, right? How many times do you think, like, you eat a meal and then you look down, like, I don't remember eating that last bite.
Yeah.
So there's a cool little thing you can do. You can do chocolate or something that's going to dissolve your mouth. You just take a piece of chocolate, put it in your mouth, and you just be still. And you focus on the chocolate and what it's doing. It's melting, it's changing, it's doing different things. That's just kind of like a grounding technique. Because this world is so fast-paced.
Yeah.
Our brains are so fast-paced, we need to stop and slow down. We can't even hear God, really.
Right. I was going to say, we talked about something one time when you were like, you know, has it ever happened to you where you get somewhere and you're like, I have no idea how I just got here, but I just drove myself here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's happened to all of us, you know, like, I literally don't remember which turn I took to, you know, get here, you know, and that just shows you how fast everything is and how our minds can literally be somewhere else. Crazy.
Yep.
Got to take care of our minds.
Got to take care of our minds. Mindful walk. Go outside here. It's so pretty out here. And just notice the five senses and what you see and hear and all that. Taking time, taking breath. I've not told any of you at any moment to breathe. It's a natural, God-given talent.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes in therapy, I do have to tell people, take a breath.
Yeah.
But it's natural. You take that deep breath, that diaphragmic in and out. Calms the body too. Journaling is a lost art. People just don't journal anymore. We can journal on our phones or apps or whatever, but I really encourage, if people have time, get an old notebook out and a pen or some color pencils and make it pretty and journal it out. Some things you can't say or you feel like you can't tell somebody, write it down. So relaxation type exercises, progressive muscle type stuff, squeezing muscles, letting go, allows the body, the brain, the blood, the oxygen flow more within the body. When there's tension and you tense and let go and you get in that practice, the body begins to relax too. So a lot of little cool little tips and things like that. Social and relational support, finding those who are in your tribe, in your group, like what you guys have going on that you can talk to, and your churches, groups like that, or even just word of mouth. Hey, you know anybody that's struggling with what I'm struggling with? It would be a good support for me.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a good support. So we have to be careful about that. And we really want to try to find somebody maybe a little more mature in the area of where we are, the wisdom. So
not just somebody that can relate. Relating is important, but somebody that can then point you to Christ. Because we've seen a lot of Facebook groups for couples with struggling with infertility that's just so negative. It's just,
That's not helping. If somebody can show you the wisdom and disciple you along the way. So that physical medical support, you know, finding your medical person that you trust and you can talk to and listens and will help you find what you need. And if you can't, then you find it yourself, like I did when I went to Atlanta and found my doctor there and did my surgery for the endometriosis. But but finding people you can trust, doing your own prayer, Bible study, take your brain off what's going on, put it on to God, let Him rewire that brain and give you the peace.
These practical tips are so important and so helpful.
So good. What would you say to someone who says, Marie, I can't afford it. Money is not there.
Counseling.
So now, and some therapists, We'll take on some clients, like we say, pro bono at a certain time. There are some certified Christian coaches out there that just take donation. And there are community resources, therapists and organizations that are use sliding fee scales. So if anybody wants to reach out to you guys to get with me,
I can
do that and send resources that way.
Don't let that be a hint, because God's not tied on funds.
That's right.
If you need the help, he can provide it, and watch him do it. Even though you might be saving up for an adoption or fertility treatments and you're like, I can't afford a single penny. You can't afford not to have peace in your heart.
Right, right. And your husband's and your spouse's relationship with you is way more important than, I don't know. I know that might sound easy to say, but it's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it to give up a few going out to eat times and Starbucks drinks to go to counseling. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. It went by so fast. Marie, thank you for coming back on.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing y'all next week on Hannah's Heart.